Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here now is Matt Austin and Ginger Gadsden with Florida's Fourth Estate, sponsored by Light Orlando, delivering hope together.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to this very special free-flowing edition of Florida's Fourth Estate. I don't know if you've noticed, but we are feeling al fresco.
We're letting it all hang out.
No, no, don't.
Okay.
Don't let anything.
All right.
Okay. Why are you manspreading? Good Lord. It's too early.
Welcome to the podcast. We're just kidding. Take the blur off.
No, don't. Leave him.
We have our clothes on. Don't you worry. We would never do that. We're... You know how much time I'd have to spend at the waxing place.
Why did you sit like that just now? It's so awkward.
Because I thought it would be funny.
You made it weird.
I know.
You made it very weird.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't weird before that as we blurred out our whole bodies. Give me a break. Well, the reason we're talking like this is because we have a very special Naked and Afraid contestant who happens to be a local farmer in the beautiful area of Mims. Her name is Michelle Armagita. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my gosh, it's so good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
We're sorry. We're childish, but we're fascinated by what you have been able to accomplish. Season 17 of Naked and Afraid.
Yeah.
We've seen different seasons. I haven't watched complete seasons, but I can't even watch it because it makes me so on edge and so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
What is it? Do you think it is about our bodies as Americans that make us so, it's like, put some clothes on?
Yeah, I think it's definitely culture. You know, American culture is, you know, very different than a lot of the world's culture. And there are still lots of cultures today where being naked is a very normal thing. You know, and I feel like it's also personalities. Certain personalities would be like, it's not a big deal. You know, others will be. And I do think that a lot of that stems from culture.
Yeah, for sure. I'm curious because you're married, you have a husband who works out at Kennedy Space Center.
Yep.
I'm picturing my wife coming to me and saying, I'm going to go with a stranger and be naked for 21 days.
Yeah.
Don't forget afraid.
And I'm going to be afraid. No, you didn't seem very afraid.
No. Wasn't.
What was your husband's reaction to this whole scenario playing out?
So funny you say that because he's actually the one who wanted me to sign up.
Not what I was expecting.
You didn't see that one coming. So essentially, this is like one of our favorite TV shows. Mm-hmm. And we've seen all the seasons. We've seen many of the XLs, which is like a 40-day larger kind of Olympics of the Naked and Afraid world. And he, every time we'd watch, he'd say, oh my gosh, babe, you're so much better than these people. Why don't you sign up? And at first I was like, haha, very funny. But after he had said it multiple times, I finally went, well, I mean, he's not wrong. So then I was like, you know what? I'm going to sign up. It was a super quick 5-minute. I didn't even fill out the entire application. I submitted it just to get him off my back. Had no hopes of ever being contacted. I'm not the kind of person who like wins awards or prizes or gets like good thing, you know?
Yeah,
so I just don't expect those things to occur. Lo and behold, it was like 4 months later, they sent me an email and I thought it was a scam.
Yeah,
I thought it was like fake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't. So here we are.
Now, 4 months later, okay, what is it about you and your background that your husband would say while watching the show, you would kill it?
Yeah. He was so much more confident than I even was in myself. And it's not that I necessarily lack confidence. I felt super proud that he was so confident in my skills. Yes, I have a long, extensive background in wild edible identification and foraging, mushrooming as well. And I am also a huntress. I don't do primitive hunting as well. I like my 308, and so I'll go out with that. Unfortunately, you can't take any guns on the show, so you're kind of restricted to primitive items.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up bringing my tomahawk, which I also have a lot of experience with, and it's a very multifunctional tool. Very glad I brought it. And I just have a lot of experience in the outdoors. I was a thru hiker for many years.
Oh, wow.
When I moved to Florida, I went away from that more into just like standard hiking without a backpack. But I just grew up in Western Washington on a small homestead where we grew our own food, mm-hmm. and we were just backed right up to the forest, a very vast wilderness area where my brothers and sisters and I, we'd just go out into the forest barefoot all day, every day, and we'd build forts and we'd find food to eat that, who knows, didn't kill me. I'm still here today. You know what I mean? And yeah. we would just kind of live as like wild forest children. And so I'm very comfortable out in that environment. It's yeah. very much so.
You said you did thru hikes. Yeah, I've recently absolutely. Become interested in that. What's like your longest, yeah. craziest thru hike that you've done?
A week. Mm. A week hike in the Rocky Mountains would be about the longest.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any goals to like do the Appalachian or the Pacific Coast Highway? Or
I don't.
Like
I've
that?
Done many sections of the PCT since I'm originally from that side of the U.S. The AT, maybe someday. I was spoiled with the Rocky Mountains and the Cascades.
I bet.
Yeah.
So for
they're a
me,
little more grand.
They are. When I go to the Appalachians, I'm like, oh, look at the hills.
It's cute.
Yeah, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah, okay, so your first day as a contestant, does it settle, does it, are you fully aware of what you have now gotten yourself into? Because
yes.
day turns into night, and I feel like when the sun sets, that's when things get real.
Yeah.
What was your first night like?
It was great.
No anxiety at all. Like I've heard when the people leave, the crew leaves, all of a sudden anxiety sets in.
Yeah, for a lot of people it does. For Cole and I, you know, it was a very special situation because both him and I are more comfortable out in the wilderness than we are in any kind of city mm-hmm. or I want to say like civilized setting. So out there, we just were thriving. We really were, and I think that was reflected very well from what the viewers saw. And so night came down, and we were just so stoked. We chatted all night. You know, you don't get very much sleep out there. That's kind of the downside of the nights. They're very cold. Yes, it does get cold in Africa for people who don't.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the 50s and 40s regularly, and you know, you're naked. All you've got is that fire. So it's very cold. You don't get very much sleep. You're pretty uncomfortable, especially because you're naked. That's really what the point of being naked is to just like strip away anything that could possibly secure you and just make you wide open and vulnerable to the elements
yeah,
and die.
I have to ask about the whole naked situation because you've got the bugs out there.
That's yes. what I was going to do.
And
yeah.
I, like, if I go out to a gym and a guy walks by naked, everything in me is all of a sudden uncomfortable.
Are you in the locker room when this guy's walking by naked?
Yeah. Okay, if I'm in the locker room, yes, a guy walks by naked, I'm like, this is different. This is outside of my normal realm. How long did it, and I'm not even naked.
Yeah, for sure.
That would amplify things. How long did it take you to get comfortable with that whole situation?
For me, it was immediately, just because I really am not uncomfortable naked, and it doesn't bother me when other people are comfortable naked, so it was never an issue.
No, but I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I worry about everything, and it's like, but seeing you on the show, I wouldn't worry about what I look like naked either if I looked like you, right? So I'd be anchoring with no clothes on. So, but that's neither here nor there. It's not.
I know, I'm sitting here in this chair, like, I wonder how many of my fat rolls are showing on this camera, and she's like, yeah, I could totally be naked.
So it's just one of those things where, you know, do you just forget that that's the situation?
You do forget.
Yeah.
Yes. When you're naked 24/7, you forget, and it's very quick.
Okay, did you get any kind of weird sunburn or kind of nothing?
No, I have pretty good skin. I'm Puerto Rican, so I have like a pretty good like skin tone and tolerance and melanin level, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I had sat, and of course our Florida, we've got like some pretty strong sun here.
Oh, yeah.
So I had sat out for a little while before I went,
they're
just to
base.
Make sure, yeah, I was good to go, and I never got sunburned. I don't know if Cole did or not. I think he might have.
He seemed like challenge. He might have.
Yeah, but for him, I don't think it was too bad. But for me, I never had any issues.
So are you now running around on this farm in Mims in the buff? Is that what you're telling us?
No, I'm not. Especially not now.
Also none of your business.
Well, I'm just saying. Maybe she got comfortable with it. She's like, it didn't bother me.
I mean, if I could, I would. Unfortunately, that's not the reality
Correct.
Of the situation.
Correct.
Gotcha, yeah. gotcha.
Okay, oh my gosh.
Sorry, don't stink anyway. Eye me for that
no,
question.
It's,
everybody was curious.
So I am curious about when you are out there and you can't take anything except the tools that they allowed you to take, right?
Yes.
And you have to eat.
Yes.
And I know that you're a huntress, mm-hmm. but the first time you have to, and it seemed like every time there was a kill, there was an emotional moment. And I don't think I could kill anything probably until I'm super hungry. Mm-hmm. Two things stood out to me. It's like, one, I thought, okay, you're going to be naked and afraid alone because there's no way that man's going to get that crocodile. And two, whenever that big animal was killed, I could not believe how...
The eland?
Yes. How huge was that thing?
Yeah, I want to say it was somewhere around 700 pounds. We don't know exactly. It was very large. It's about the size of an elk. Mm-hmm. And it's the world's largest antelope. It's also the record for largest kill in Naked and Afraid history. We're going on 17 seasons, Cole's got a really great trophy there with that. And it was just amazing to see that the hyenas hadn't gotten to it, which was my concern.
Yes,
overnight, a lot of times they'll find those animals. Or even the lions or any other, you know, of the many African predators that could find that animal. And so we were happy to find it. We saw that it was dead and it was done suffering, which is very important to Cole and I. We're both hunters that are very ethical. And so we believe in trying to do as quick and clean of a kill as you can. And he knew he didn't get as clean of a kill as he wanted with the eland. So it was something that was really worrying him.
But I do have to say, I appreciate the fact that you guys are thankful for the animal that sacrificed for you guys to be able to do that. I always think that when people are out in the wild and they hunt, you know, people think they're just brutal and barbaric, but you're actually just grateful for that animal spirit.
Incredibly grateful. And quite honestly, like, that is such just a key thing for us and our energy. I mean, you really don't eat a ton out there. Mm-hmm. Even if there was a ton to eat, just even like acquiring everything in your area just takes so much time and so much energy. It's very hard to explain that to anyone who, you know, hasn't experienced this, which is not very many people, of course. So that eland was everything, and it was very emotional for both of us.
Yeah.
It seems like you and Cole got along well. Like, have you guys been talking since? Have you formed a friendship?
Absolutely. You know, we formed a very strong bond out there. Him and I are both very laid back people just in general. We just meshed very nicely, and I'm very thankful for that. And he's my survival brother, you know, I'm a survival sister, you know, we're pretty much like members of each other's family now, you know what I mean? And so we're very close and we do have a very good friendship.
Yeah, you do have to build some sort of trust with that person as well, because you are out there and that's your only source of, you know, companionship and everything else. Yes. How much sleep were you guys getting every night?
It varied. For me, I would get anywhere from 30 minutes to 3 to 4 hours max a night.
A night?
30 minutes?
Yes. 30 minutes would be about the least amount I would say I slept. For Cole, he'd get anywhere from maybe 10 minutes to 2 hours max. So he was on the lower end of the scale. So the sleep situation definitely affected him a little bit more. And it affects you, like, obviously physiologically, but also psychologically as well. And so there were some struggles there of, like, lack of sleep for both of us.
Right.
And, you know I had fainted on screen. That was one of the things. That honestly was more from like a lack of sleep and dehydration than a lack of food, because those things are going to hit you much sooner, more quickly, and more acutely than a lack of food will hit you.
Yeah. We would be remiss if we didn't ask you about these amazing earrings that you have in your ear, because there's a tie to the show. Tell us about
those.
There is,
yes. So these are from a bush pig skull that we scavenged. It had been dead and was all sun bleached by the time I found it. And it was the jawbone of the bush pig, which is just like a South African boar, essentially. And I eventually, with Cole, we had sat down and we had harvested these out of the jaw. There's also some teeth I stuck in at the end here. You can see some of the bush pig teeth.
Oh my gosh.
And I just thought one day, hey, these might fit in the big old holes in my ear. And so I just went, whoop, stuck it right through. And
oh my gosh.
They fit.
That's crazy. Okay, so I'm always interested in someone who lives an adventurous life, and you obviously do that, you know, besides the farm, just doing what you've done. And sometimes things happen to people, right? And they have scars. But with those scars come stories. Do you have any scars that have any really cool stories?
I mean, I do, but I definitely am not trying to, like, share my scars so much on the TV.
No, but I mean, you know what I mean? Somebody will, like, oh, I broke my foot, but I was just walking at home. Or I broke my foot, but I was, you know, I was skydiving. There's always a better story.
Yeah, so actually, I have a scar right here. I don't know if you can see it.
I see it.
Mm-hmm. So I actually gave myself that when I was skinning a squirrel in North Carolina. But it wasn't the actual skinning. I did just fine skinning the squirrel. So I usually use a whetstone to sharpen my knife. I don't know if you know anything about knife sharpening. And this time I had one of those like sharpeners where you like pull it like this.
Like the leather.
Like a band or something.
It was like a V that you like pull the knife
in the center of it.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had never used one of those before for whatever reason. And so I pulled it towards me, which you're not supposed to do. Don't do this at home, kids. And when I pulled it towards me, one of the attempts, I actually sliced right through my radial nerve. So I actually don't have feeling in most of my thumb.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yes. My word. So, okay. Well, yeah, that's memorable. That's sure. But it's also a cool story.
It is. And this is a different way of living. You grew up, like you said, like a wild kid growing up outdoors, and now you have this lifestyle where you grow most of your food. And do you recommend that to people? Like, it's probably not for, everybody, but you, and you say your husband is more of a city boy, right? Yes. Like, he's had to get used to this lifestyle as well.
You know, it's something that he desired definitely to do, and so he's taking to it very well. And, you know, I say that he's like our farm's engineer and builder because he can just build anything, and he's very helpful, and he takes care of the farm when I'm not there, you know, which is amazing, and we're a great team. But yeah, I'm the one with more of the agricultural background, and I had been wanting to get back into that background ever since pretty much I joined the Air Force, which I was like, okay, I got to do my tour of duty, and then I can go, you know, do what I want to do, which is what I ended up doing. So yeah, that's definitely more my background. And as far as recommending it to others, I do truly actually feel that everybody to some degree can grow a portion of their own food, even people living in apartments. There's ways to do it, you know, and, you know, even if it's like a tomato plant in a pot, you know what I mean? Or like a pepper plant in a pot by like the sunniest window. And I just think it's very important for us, even like just as human beings, we have to eat, you know what I mean? Food, shelter, water, you know, those are three basic necessities, and we need all of those. And so I just do think it's important to pass on that knowledge to future generations, because we don't want to get to a place where there's just such a small amount of people in general in the world, not just Americans, who know these, you know, basic things about growing and raising your own food, harvesting your own food. Hunting is very important, foraging, very important too. And so I definitely highly recommend one or all of those things, you know, to anybody, and think it's a great way to live life.
Well, I'm from a family of 15, and we grew up in the country. I'm from South Carolina, right? So we grew our own food growing up, and it was just normal. And at the time, like, you go to the chicken coop, and you get an egg, and I thought the egg was already boiled because it was hot, but it was fresh out of the chicken, you know? And you think about it, it's like, oh, that makes sense. But there's so many kids who don't even know where food comes from.
Absolutely.
They think it comes from the grocery store, and that's it. They don't know the earth can provide them with so much nutrients and so just everything that you need. And I know during the pandemic, people started feeling accomplished because they started growing, you know, everybody dabbled a little bit. I grew 8 cherry tomatoes and I thought I could just live off the grid.
Good job.
And so,
old McDonald's grew some cherry tomatoes in a window.
You are very proud of the things.
You're like, I grew that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and it's like, and it was good. Yeah. I was like, oh my
gosh. You know
gosh.
Exactly what went into it. You know, there's no question. You're like, I watered it with this. I may have fertilized it with a little of this. I know exactly where this came from, and that's what's very important.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about what was sprayed on it.
No, it's just really a good feeling. So I completely understand that, and wish that more people would. We always talk about looking for land like when we retire, and just, you know, it's harder to find now, but it would just be, you know, it's just how my family grew up.
It seems like a peaceful, chill way, and maybe that's how you can be more like her. Like, if we everything can just kind of flow off your back. Sure, I'm naked in South Africa,
and
bugs
gosh.
Are biting me all
Can't
over, but
imagine.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the lifestyle that
I would
leads
love
to that
attitude. I would love to have to learn. We all need to learn. Just chill. A little bit
right,
more.
Like, my Starbucks was too cold this morning, and I threw it at the guy.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Okay, he did not. He did not.
That's a fake story.
But we talk about how we've become, as a society, like, oh, my gosh, we're so soft right now.
Oh,
we just had this conversation last night.
We talked about this last night.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's too hot. It's like, I my coffee isn't just right. I can't start the day until I
know.
I can
we're
have
like, what
coffee.
If we went through a war tomorrow? You know, like,
we're not going to win.
Who's going to fight in this thing?
I'm not in that foxhole if I can't have my cup of coffee the way I need it, right?
Yeah, I need my luxurious sleep mask. But for sure.
We're definitely a very pampered society.
Yeah. What's next for you? Because I would imagine this has to be like a pinnacle, if not the pinnacle, but I don't want to put you in a box. So what's next?
Yeah, I mean, bigger and better. I don't necessarily know what's next, but I definitely would do a longer challenge if I was asked.
Hint.
Like the Olympics of Naked and Afraid, which is called an XL challenge. It's a 40-day challenge.
Yeah.
It's twice as long. And usually they have people who have like a little bit more experience, which I do, you know, but more experience and are fit to kind of survive for longer time frames. And we'll see what happens. If that's in the future, that's in the future.
But could you do a show like, you know, we're on CBS. Could you do a show like Survivor? Because it's a different type of thing, you know?
As of right now, I can't. I have contractual obligations to Warner Brothers Discovery.
Little non-compete.
Oh, got it. So, yeah.
We're familiar with
But if you hadn't done Naked and Afraid, do you think you could have killed that Survivor? I mean, not kill, but.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
She's like, I would have clothes on and everything.
Yeah, that's easy.
That's what it seems like.
She's like, eat a bug? Gosh. No big deal. Well, I think you're a very fascinating person. How can people watch Naked and Afraid?
Yeah, they can stream it on Max, also on Discovery Plus. Mm-hmm. Both of those platforms have all the seasons, all the episodes. I know Max does it live. I don't know if Discovery Plus does it live, but it might be like a day after.
Okay.
So, we'll make sure we put it in the link to this podcast. Can we come out to your farm one day and just hang out with you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Not even tape it.
Just really, it would be great.
We're just going to kind of like get your chillness onto us.
Come pet the emu. They're very friendly.
Wait.
Oh, no,
they are. They're
Emus do not look friendly.
No.
So we hatched them out as an egg, you know, and so the first thing that they saw was me and my husband poking our head in. And so they love us and they think that they're people and they love people. So they are super friendly, very low to no aggression really with our emu. We just don't see that at all with ours.
They seem cuddly to me.
I know they don't seem it, but when you meet them and you pet them, you're going to be like, this thing's cuddly.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Cuddling an emu. All right. Thank you so much, Shell. So nice to meet you. Congratulations on all of your success and your cool, chill lifestyle.
And look forward to seeing what you do in the future, because I know we're going to see and hear from you again for sure.
Yes.
We'll see.
And thank you for watching Florida's Fourth Estate. You can download it from wherever you listen to podcasts or watch anytime on News 6+.